What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, we are closing in on the Major League Baseball playoffs. We are about a month out from playoff baseball, and right now, shit is getting hot, especially for a couple of teams. Let's start off with Monday night. The Chicago Cubs took down the Chicago White Sox in a 10-inning game. The Cubs got the win 7-5, but it was PCA had the walk-off home run. He had two home runs in this game and three RBI, but the big news was PCA had his second 30-for-30 season, meaning he had 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases, second in a row. He is the only Chicago Cubs player ever in the history of their existence to do that. That's crazy. Because, I mean, the Cubs are one of the most legendary teams of all time, not in just baseball, in sports in general. And to find out that PCA is the first freaking guy to do that, you know, I've been singing his praises for the majority of the season just because he has been such a huge force for this team. Every time they're down, this guy's like, we are a good-ass team. We can do this. And they always seem to just come back, and he's the driving force. It's just crazy to watch, and it's also just crazy. He is the first Cub to ever have two 30-30 seasons in a row, so congrats to him. Then on Tuesday, they had another close matchup between the Cubs and the White Sox. Cubs got the win again, 4-3. PCA had another home run, and this was his third game in a row with a home run. But the game winner was actually with Alex Bregman, who has finally found his groove. I mean, it has taken him forever to really get going with this Cubs team. The last month of baseball for him has been great, and he has been hitting the game-winning hits in a couple of games here recently. He had the game-winning single in this one. He had two RBIs total in this one, and another big game for the Chicago Cubs. Then on Tuesday, speaking of big games, the Milwaukee Brewers annihilated the Seattle Mariners 22-0. Yeah, that's like a football score right there, 22-0. It actually ties the biggest shutout ever in Major League Baseball history. The last time that happened was 1887. So that was literally a historical ass-kicking that the Brewers placed upon the Mariners. Kyle Harrison, he has come back from his injury, and he's been pretty solid since he came back. He went five innings pitched in this one with eight strikeouts. And this Brewers team, they are looking poised and ready for this playoff run. But a huge win for them. Then on Wednesday, the Philadelphia Phillies got a win over the Miami Marlins 4-1. Aaron Nola pitched a gem in this one. Seven innings pitched, eight strikeouts. And Arias, ever since the Phillies have traded for Arias, this guy has been hitting home runs out of the park. He is not known for being a home run hitter. He isn't known for getting on base for sure, but he is hitting them out of the park since he got traded to Philly. He had a home run and two RBI in this one. And then also on Wednesday, another amazing pitched gem was by Cade Cavalli of the Washington Nationals. They got a win over the Texas Rangers 6-0. Cavalli went six innings pitched with 11 strikeouts on this one. They also got a home run from Chaparro. He had three RBI, and then Tina also had a home run as well. And then more record-breaking news, actually, from Jacob deGrom of the Texas Rangers last night. The Rangers got the win over the Nationals 2-0. But the big deal was Jacob deGrom got his 2,000th strikeout, career strikeout. And last night he went six innings pitched with 10 strikeouts. He's the 95th player all time to do it. One of the fastest to do it. I think he's the second fastest to ever do it, which says a lot because Jacob deGrom has had a couple of season-ending injuries. So, he could have been, if he didn't have these crazy injuries that he's had where he's missed like entire seasons, he could have hit 2,000 like a couple years ago, and right now he might be at like 3,000. But either way, Jacob deGrom has had a fantastic career. He's been one of the top-notch pitchers, one of the most consistent pitchers this league has ever had. And here we go with another one hitting the 2,000 strikeout mark. So since we are only a month away from the baseball playoffs, every Friday I'm going to start recapping who's the division leaders, who are the wild card spots, and just break down how the playoff picture looks. So let's begin with the American League since it's the weaker of the leagues. The American League East right now, they are tops with the Tampa Bay Rays. They would be the number one overall seed, and they are tops in their division right now. They have a 4-game lead over the New York Yankees. Then in second place would be the Chicago, or the second seed would be the Chicago White Sox. They are right now currently hold the lead in the American League Central, a 3.5-game lead over the Minnesota Twins. And then the number 3 seed would be the Houston Astros. Right now, they hold a 1-game lead over the Texas Rangers. And then the American League wild card spots would go to the New York Yankees, the Boston Red Sox, and the Minnesota Twins, with the Texas Rangers, the Toronto Blue Jays, and the Cleveland Guardians being the teams that are the closest right now to potentially snagging one of those spots. And then in the National League, the number one overall seed would actually be the Milwaukee Brewers. They lead the Central right now with a 5-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. Then the number 2 seed would be the Los Angeles Dodgers. Right now, they lead the National League West with a 9-game lead over the San Diego Padres. And the National League East number 3 overall seed would be the Atlanta Braves. Right now, they hold a 5-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. The National League wild card spots right now would be the Chicago Cubs, the Philadelphia Phillies, and the San Diego Padres, with the Arizona Diamondbacks, the St. Louis Cardinals, and the Miami Marlins on the outskirts there looking in. So that's how the playoff picture is looking right now. And, you know, it's right around the corner. We are going to be talking about Major League Baseball playoffs. I mean, right now is basically playoff time because, like I said, you know, you got PCA just on this insane run right now. And then you got Bregman stepping it up, hitting some of these game winners. And then you also have, like I said, the Brewers just kicking ass. The Braves starting to get hot. The Dodgers are actually starting to kind of fall apart. I still expect them to be competitive once we get to the playoffs. But still, I mean, they aren't playing that great, especially when you even got the Phillies. It's another team that's lurking right there. And then you turn to the American League, and it's so weird in the American League right now. You know, you've got the Rays, and you've got the Yankees, and then you also have teams like the White Sox and the Red Sox. And then you also have the Astros, of course. And to keep it quite real with you, even though the Astros have not been the strongest team this year, I really would not be shocked to see them hit the ALCS just because they have a great roster. They've got a lot of talent. It's just, are they going to be able to put it together for a playoff run? And when you look at the American League, it is so, so weak. I mean, like I said, Tampa Bay, do we really believe in them once the playoffs roll around? I don't know. You got the New York Yankees and all their injury problems. I mean, they had to put Max Fried back on the injured list this week, but then they got Carlos Rodon back. But they're still waiting to get Bellinger and Stanton and Judge back, and that's what they really need. And then the Chicago White Sox, yeah, they've had a phenomenal year, but do we really believe that they're World Series bound? So when I'm looking at the American League, I'm kind of looking at the Houston Astros like this is probably their league to lose because, you know, you've got Yordan still in line for the Triple Crown right now. And, yeah, like I said, you got to look out for this Astros team. And then the National League, you can make a case for the Brewers, the Dodgers, the Braves, the Cubs, and the Phillies. I could think any one of those 5 could easily hit the World Series. And that's what's going to be interesting is once we hit the playoffs, man, that National League, they're going to be beating the shit out of each other. The American League, I don't know what's going to be up there, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's some type of crapshoot team that just ends up making the World Series from that side of things. So we are closing in on the NFL season. We are full steam ahead in our preseason games right now. We've got a full weekend on tap of games. Nothing very interesting, though. I mean, preseason games are very meh to me. I mean, last week, I watched the first quarter and half of the second quarter, I believe, of the Cowboys game just because, you know, it's not that. It's football, but to me, it's not, like, meaningful football. So it's kind of hard for me to even get into. But a few things did happen this week in the NFL, so let's get into some NFL training camp storylines. Number one being Von Miller. He has signed with the Dallas Cowboys, and I am here for it, y'all. I mean, he's not the same Von Miller that he was, you know, when he was the Super Bowl MVP years ago with the Denver Broncos. But that's okay. I think he's just one of those missing pieces that we need with just veteran leadership. Just shores up the defense a little bit more because that's what I like what the Cowboys have done this offseason. We sucked on defense last year, and they really have just been making really solid moves each and every signing or move that they make on the defense. I'm really digging, and Von Miller is just another one of them. Like I said, he's not going to be the game-changing Von Miller he used to be, but I think he's going to bring some great leadership to this team, and I think he's just going to be really solid player for the Cowboys, and I'm just happy to see him in a Cowboys uniform. The next topic I want to talk about, and it's just, it's not really anything major. I think it's more just stupid media fodder. But it's very odd to me because I'm wondering what's up with all the Patrick Mahomes disrespect with the media in this offseason. You know, they're doing all their little stupid rankings, and I know they don't matter for shit at all. But they act like Patrick Mahomes is trash now. Everybody's like, Josh Allen. He's the greatest quarterback in the league. And it's like, Josh Allen ain't done shit, y'all. He has done a whole wad of nothing compared to Patrick Mahomes. So I'm not understanding where this Patrick Mahomes disrespect is coming from. I think it has to do with, because most of it's from stupid-ass ESPN, and they're probably shills for Josh Allen and his PR team or whatever, something like that, because I've always noticed ESPN really, really has Josh Allen's dick just crammed down their throat, and they just can never criticize the dude, and they think he's like the most amazing thing ever, and don't get me wrong. Josh Allen is a talented, excellent quarterback. I ain't dissing the dude. I'm just here to point out that he ain't better than Patrick Mahomes. Nobody in the league is better than Patrick Mahomes at the quarterback position. Hands down, straight the fuck up, nobody in this league is better than Patrick Mahomes. He has shown over his entire fucking NFL career so far that he is the dude. As a matter of fact, the only reason why the Chiefs went downhill last year was because of his injury, and it was all on him. I mean, he didn't have any issues. It was everybody else on his team. His offensive line didn't block for shit. Ain't nobody catching passes. This is the guy who actually does everything. He's a dude who shows up for every single playoff game. Even when he's counted out, he's there. Josh Allen ain't. How many Super Bowls has Josh Allen not only not won, but how many has he been to? Zero. The dude hasn't even played for a Super Bowl. So let's all get off the Josh Allen is better than Patrick Mahomes train, because he ain't. Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league in today's game, 100%. I don't care if he's coming off of an ACL injury. He has proven time and again, he's the dude. When he is playing great, this team wins. I mean, he's had... There was that one year a few years ago when their roster really wasn't that talented, and they kind of like backed their way into the playoffs, and they had to win all those road games on the way to winning the Super Bowl. And like I just said, not a very talented roster, and it was all on him, and he did it. Meanwhile, Josh Allen ain't done shit in the playoffs. Ain't done shit. So this whole fucking argument, it's not even legit, because there is nobody in today's league, on August 21st, 2026, that even touches what Patrick Mahomes has done. Maybe Matthew Stafford. That's about the only dude in the league right now where I'd be like, oh yeah, you could actually like rank their careers and kind of look up how they are comparatively. But still, even so, Patrick Mahomes has 3 goddamn Super Bowl rings, y'all. And that says more than any fucking thing else. So, and it's not even just the rings. It's what he means to this team. So I'm just, it's just the weirdest fucking thing to me to hear that it's even a debate. But like I said, I just feel like this is typical ESPN. They always got to pick their heroes and their villains, and they always got to pit people against each other. And I'm just sitting here like, is this a real argument? Because last I checked, Patrick Mahomes was the best football player in the league, let alone best quarterback. But yeah, y'all can have your little Josh Allen, who probably won't do shit this year again. He'll probably choke hard in the playoffs, and we'll probably see Patrick Mahomes back in the Super Bowl. And even if we don't, it doesn't fucking matter, because the guy's been to 5 fucking Super Bowls, for Christ's sake. I mean, Jesus Christ. That's like half his fucking career he's been in the Super Bowl. Ugh. And we're having this debate? No, there ain't no debate. If you think Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes, rip your fucking eyeballs out, because you're stupid as shit. Anyways, next NFL training camp storyline. Vita Vea, he got paid. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers gave him a 1-year, $30 million extension. So this is, it's not over. It's over for this year, but it's kind of looking like next year we're going to be seeing another showdown between the two of them. Or he's just going to test the free agent market. Either way, he got his extension. He gets paid. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers need him. For one, the Buccaneers are not in a difficult division, so I kind of feel like this is their division to lose, but they weren't going to win this division or even have a shot at anything if Vita Vea wasn't there in the middle, because he's a pivotal part of this defense. He's a leader on this team, and, you know, like I said, this is not a very strong division, so they're going to need, if they could just be halfway decent, they probably got this division unlocked, but I actually think the Bucs, especially now that they got Vea locked in, I think they're going to be a pretty solid team this year. Then a couple other storylines, they actually come from the 49ers. I wasn't aware of this, but apparently Christian McCaffrey is doing what is known as a hold-in, because, you know, a few running backs have got paid over the last couple of weeks, and Christian McCaffrey's looking around like, hi, I'm Christian McCaffrey, I'm one of the best running backs in the league, why don't we give me a raise? So it's kind of looking like he wants a raise. He probably deserves a raise because, I mean, he is one of the top backs in the league. But, you know, we'll see what happens there. The Niners usually do roll around and pay their guys. But I wasn't really aware of that until recently. But then I looked at him like, well, yeah, you see Bijan Robinson getting paid. You see Gibbs getting paid. You see all these other dudes getting paid. And he's just kind of like, I'm like all of this offense. I mean, I know they've got a lot of weapons on the Niners team, but the offense rolls through Christian McCaffrey, and I think we all know that. And then the last bit of Niners news, which is actually very good news for them and very shocking news as well, but George Kittle, you know, he's coming off of a torn Achilles, which he tore, it was either in the playoffs or like the last couple of weeks of the season. Either way, he tore his Achilles towards the end of the season, and it's very possible he might end up playing in week one of this season, which is very shocking because that's a crazy injury to be coming back from to begin with. But to be coming back from that short amount of time, we'll see if anybody can do it. I mean, of course, George Kittle can, but I wouldn't be shocked if they kind of hold him back because, for one, if you aren't aware, the Niners are actually going to be playing the first game in Australia this year, and that is their week one game. That's what we start with this season, is an Australia game. And so it might be something where the Niners are like, we don't really want you traveling just yet. I wouldn't be shocked if he goes, but I mean, also at the same time, it's kind of like they might want to just hold him back at least a week or two to make sure things are all right. But at the same time, hey, he's a football player and I'm sure he wants to play and it's the beginning of the season, but we'll see what happens there. But either way, to hear that he could potentially be playing in a week one, that's pretty fucking crazy to me. We also had some NBA news over the week as well. The Cavaliers have made a couple of big moves, and then we are having some LA drama with both the Lakers and Clippers. So let's get into first the Cavaliers, what they've done this week. They actually ended up trading for Peyton Watson. We all knew that it looked like the Nuggets were going to move Peyton Watson, which I just don't understand. Must have been a money thing for them, a salary cap issue, because the dude fit right in with this team, and he was pretty much their saving grace last year. But they traded him away. Now, they did get some, first-round picks and everything in this one, so they did get some good stuff back for Peyton Watson. But I don't know. But the Cavs, they're locked and loaded now, because then they also re-signed James Harden this week, a 3-year, $97 million deal. So, I mean, this Cavaliers roster looking pretty damn good over in the Eastern Conference. Moving on to the LA drama for this week. So, in some weird and totally shocking news, the Lakers were sold again this week. And when I say again, yes, I mean again, because they sold originally last year for $10 billion. And, like, the ownership, like, literally just took over. Because if you don't know, like, when somebody buys a team, it's not an immediate takeover. There's a whole change in leadership. There's, like, a whole process of things that need to happen. And basically, they just took over. And so I believe his name is Mark Walter. He owns the Dodgers as well. So he ends up selling the Lakers again this week for $12.5 billion. So he did make $2.5 billion off of this sale. But I just was like, what is up with this? Because it's very sketch, in my opinion, to see somebody just flip a team like that. And so I did a little bit more research and happened to find out that this Mark Walton, whatever the fuck his name is, I don't really care who he is. I usually don't care who any of the owners are because to me, they're just rich motherfuckers. They don't play the game. All they do is own the team. So, congratulations to them, but they ain't shit to me. So the guy who previously bought the Lakers last year, he's got some issues with the law right now. Apparently, he's got some bad deals going on with loans and being investigated and could potentially end up in prison. So he needed to flip the Lakers real quick because he needs to pay down some of these loans. So that's basically what I found out with him. Now, the real drama is actually with the Buss family. So we all know Jeannie Buss has been all in on the Lakers. You know, she basically grew up, you know, her dad owned the Lakers, and she basically grew up working for the Lakers, even as a little kid. And she has done a lot of innovative things in basketball and with the Lakers, and she has literally grown up working for the Lakers. And I imagine this is really difficult for her because, of course, the rest of her siblings are selling their shares in the Lakers. And she doesn't want to do that. And she's the only one who doesn't want to do that. And I get it from her standpoint, but at the same time, I get it from their standpoint as well, because they're going to make a lot of fucking money off of this. But that's where the real drama actually lies. She's trying to get some court orders and trying to make it so that they can't sell the team. But basically, this deal is done. And the reason why she's fighting so hard is because this last owner, he promised her in contract and in writing that for the next 5 years, she was going to remain in a position with the team and still be basically the face of the team for at least the next 5 years. With this new leadership taking over, that same deal is not, it's not happening. And so that's what I think her main issue is that it's it for her. Her connection's done. And so that's where the real drama actually lies, is between all the Buss siblings. I mean, they've been fighting over this team since their father died. Because like I said, Jeannie's been the one who really wants to hang on to the team and still run the team and still be a part of the team, where the rest of the siblings, and I think it's what, four or five of them, so she's way outnumbered. They all want to sell the team. And so I see what both sides of it, but it's a lot of drama. And like I said, it was crazy to me because I'm like, did we not just sell this team last year? But I got to say, I am happy that this previous owner, Mark, whatever the fuck, I'm glad he sold this team, because I would not want that drama hanging over the team of like, this guy's being investigated. Are we going to have to sell the team again? Like, that's just too much drama to be dealing with. So I'm glad that aspect of it's taken care of. And, we'll see if this new ownership cares or what goes on with it. But I mean, at the end of the day, it is what it is. But there's some drama with the Lakers, but there's also some drama with the Clippers. Now, I haven't really been paying a lot of attention to this drama with the Clippers because it's the stupid-ass Clippers. But the more I looked into it, it's actually so fucking hilarious to me, because this always happens with all the leagues, the NBA, the NFL, MLB, college sports, every sport in the world. They're all corrupt, and they all have their own little back ways of doing shit. And so it was reported earlier this week, because, you know, there's been this investigation into the Clippers between the ownership and the front office and their signing of Kawhi Leonard a few years ago, because apparently they've been paying him in ways you're not supposed to circumvent the salary cap. So the long story short on this one is basically he's been getting some, like, quote, sponsorship deals. And I say quote because he's getting the deal, but he's not doing anything for it. You know, usually when somebody gets a sponsorship deal, let's say you sign a sponsorship deal with Pepsi, you usually have to do, like, commercials with Pepsi and promotions with Pepsi, and you do all this stuff with Pepsi. Well, that was not happening with Kawhi Leonard. There were a few companies that the Clippers were working with, and I mean, the paper trail is right there. I mean, there's one reporter who's been doing all the investigative reporting on this, and it's so amusing to me because when I actually, like, sat down and looked at it, I'm like laughing to myself because it's so apparent that the Clippers were literally doing exactly what they're being investigated for, that they were really paying Kawhi Leonard basically under the table, and that's how they got him to sign with the Clippers, and that's how they circumvent the salary cap, and that's a big no-no. Now, it's really funny because the NBA apparently either concluded their investigation or are close to concluding their investigation, and it was announced that, golly gee willikers, they haven't found any corruption by the LA Clippers. And I'm like sitting here laughing because I'm like, I've read all the evidence. You know, if you don't know, I work for a lawyer. So like putting together evidence is literally my job. And so putting together evidence and figuring out things is actually quite easy for me to do. And when I sat down, and I didn't even really go in depth with a lot of this evidence, but even just the surface level evidence, I'm like looking at it, I'm like, how sad is it that this investigator reporter, he's the reason why there is even still an investigation going on, because they stopped the investigation at the beginning of the season, and then they had to restart it because this guy, he keeps releasing emails and contracts, and it's just all set in stone that what they are being investigated for is exactly what they did. But the NBA magically is like, no, the Clippers didn't do anything. They didn't do anything bad. And they're probably, you know, they're going to settle it, you know, how they always do. All the owners, they're probably going to, you know, get in one of their little circles, their little powwows. They're all going to decide together how they're going to punish the Clippers. But it's just so amusing to me because that's what they, all the leagues, all of them do, is they always are trying to, like, hide and bury bullshit. And then when you actually look at it, I mean, really, all the evidence on this investigation is just hilarious to me. I can't believe this investigation is still going on because all the evidence points to that they did it. And so they should be reprimanded, but it's looking like more and more they won't be. But it's just hilarious because this investigative reporter is basically the only reason why this became a story, why it's continued to remain a story. And even still, after this week, it's like, have y'all not looked at these emails? Have y'all not looked at all these contracts and all the shady business that's been going on? Because it's very, very apparent they were trying to circumvent the salary cap. So that's what's going on with the Clippers and the Lakers. So a lot of drama in LA because that's how they do in LA. But it's funny because it's actually not drama that actually involves like the players or on the court or anything. It's just like millionaire bullshit, I guess you would say. But that's what's going on right now. All right, y'all, enjoy the weekend of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Monday.